course, the word understanding is used throughout Proverbs. What do we mean when we say understanding? Huh? Well, we have knowledge too. That's another word that's used throughout there. So we want to know. Fully comprehending all the facts. If you have an understanding of something, you fully comprehend all the facts. And all of that entails wisdom. Wisdom is the gift that God has provided for us to understand and put all these together. I've known so many people with a lot of knowledge. Some with, I've known some with doctorate degrees. But lack of what we call in today's vernacular common sense to be able to put it together, you know, in today's world. And I know some people who've had some has understanding, and some people who've had wisdom to a certain point. But God has promised us in Proverbs. He makes so many promises. What do we know about God's promises? Never fails. So when God tells you that I promise you I'm going to give you this, you can count on that. You can take, you can take that to the bank. So if he promises us something, why wouldn't we want to take advantage of it? And so that's what I hope as we glean through Proverbs, that we'll see some of these truths that he's presented to us and understand why we would want to put them into our everyday life. Morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning. We're going to start off in the very beginning. Proverbs 1. We're going to start with chapter 1. And I'm going to have you go through verse 7. And I want you to notice the promises that God starts you off with in the book of Proverbs. Tell you, he wants you to give you that. In fact, he's almost begging you to take it. He says in verse 2, to know. In other words, you get this in your head, you'll know his wisdom and you'll know his instructions. Not only that, but in verse 2, you'll perceive. You'll be able to perceive it. You'll be able to see it in your mind what he's talking to you about. Number 3, he says you'll be able to receive his wisdom and his justice and his judgment. And then in 4, he says he'll give you due prudence to the simple. That's a word we didn't discuss, but what is he saying here to give prudence to the simple? Prudence would be another saying he would allow them also, whatever their abilities are, to understand. 5 is a young man who will get knowledge. 6, in verse 6, he promises, in verse 5, he says, you'll be wise to hear. You'll increase your learning if you study Proverbs. Number 7 says you'll have understanding, and you will attain wise counsel. And number 6 verse says, to understand Proverbs, you'll be able to understand these Proverbs he has in here, and an enigma. What would be another definition for an enigma? Puzzle. Uh-huh. Anything that we can't comprehend because it didn't come together for us, he'll give us that. And he kind of backs that up, by the way, in verse 7, when he says, the words of the wise and their riddles. And we've often had, and I've often spoke to a lot of people that they spoke with such big words, I never understood what they were trying to get across. But God says, he'll give you that talent right here. He says, they won't be able to talk above your head. He says, he'll let it be so that you can understand it. And then he also says, and this is the one thing we want to remember about Proverbs, and I think everybody remembers this verse, the fear of the Lord. What kind of a fear is he talking about here? A shuddering fear? A reverent fear? Awesome fear of what he is, what his almightiness is. He says, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you don't want to fall in these last two categories. You don't want to be a fool to despise wisdom and his instruction that he gives you here in the book. In verses 1, still in chapter 1, 20 through 23, let's go to that. Let's look at that. 20. The wisdom calls aloud from outside. She raises her voice in the open square. She cries out in the chief concourses at the opening of the gates in the city. She speaks her word. Is how long, you simple ones, would you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate their knowledge. Remember back in those days, the only way you got a message out, of course, if you had tablets, you could do it on tablets. With the paprika and the paper they used to write on. But most important messages were going to the city square or in the streets and hollered out, hey, this is happening. Beware, this is coming. So God tells you, he gives you four things to kind of plead with you. He calls from outside, he says. He raises her voice. Wisdom raises her voice. She cries out in the city. That's how bad he wants you to know about wisdom. She speaks her word. So God not only has made you promises, but he's crying out that he wants you to listen to it. He wants you to listen to what wisdom is all about. He wants you to have wisdom. Of course, as I said, in those days, they didn't have any microphones and they didn't have any loudspeakers, and urgent messages, the only way they got them out was to get out and holler them in the street. That was a common practice, so these people could relate to that. But God was saying, go out in the streets. If you don't hear them in your house, go out in the street, and you'll hear the wisdom is calling out for you. In verse 23, if you're looking at the last of verse 23, is another promise he said. I will make, he didn't say I might make, he says I will make my words known to you. He will give you an understanding of what he's trying to tell you. Proverbs 3, let's go to Proverbs 3, verses 3 through 6. It's some of your blessing. Look at what he's going to do for you. He's going to extend the length of your days. Everybody wants to live long. He wants to extend the length of your days. You'll have a long life. You'll have peace, he says. And that'll be added to you. And he says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on your heart, tablets of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in God and man. I guess when someone told me, when I first heard about Proverbs, or first started to study Proverbs, that I was limited. I recognize I'm not a super smart guy, and I was limited in what I could comprehend. And I recognize there are smart people out there that will read this thing and it helps them, and there's dumb people like me that won't get much out of it. But understand this, God will never make you a promise that you can understand. He would never sit down and have this written for you and me to read if he didn't think that you and I, each one of us sitting in this room, could comprehend what he's talking about. But what we consider worldly wisdom, and there's two kinds of wisdom, by the way. Which worldly wisdom, by the way? The godly wisdom or which worldly wisdom? Well, what's wisdom of the world? It's taking the gift of wisdom that God wants us to have and using it for worldly purposes. You can take, because this book will give you wisdom, you can become wise in the way you deal with people, the things you say to people, the things that you expect of people. But you can also use them for personal gain. You can use them for selfishness. You can use them for deceit. You can use them So there is a world of wisdom out there. They're taking God's gift of wisdom and using it for world purposes. So we've got to be careful when we gain wisdom that we don't use that wisdom for world purposes. And there's some admonishments about that all the way through Proverbs. And we'll probably touch on one of those too if we have time in this class. Proverbs 3 and 3 through 6, we have, we just read those. Proverbs 3, 7 through 10, let's just continue right on. He says, in 7 through 10, he says, "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, for it will be health to your bones." You want to be a healthy person? You want to know when you get old that you're not going to be so sickly that you can't live and enjoy the rest of your life? God tells you in Proverbs, it'll be health to your flesh to understand Proverbs, understand His Word, and to get knowledge and wisdom. Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Yeah, right there He's telling you, you're going to prosper. Because I'm going to give you an abundance of what you expect out of life. And I'm going to prosper. Who doesn't want to prosper? Wisdom will help you prosper. If you're wise in dealing with people and your money and in business, you'll prosper. And that's what it's all about. Not making foolish decisions. You know, not being crazy with what you own. Use it wisely. So if you want to prosper, so we all want to prosper, then I advise you to read. I think the Lord's encouraging us all to be Proverbs. Verses 13 and 14. Hey, you want to be happy? Everybody wants to be happy. Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain is more than fine gold. Be happy. I've not read one negative thing to you yet that God has promised you that you can get. It's here for you to take it. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life to your soul, and grace around your neck. And you'll walk safely in your way. You want to be safe in this world. You want to feel like that you're safe wherever you're going, and your foot will not stumble. Do not be afraid of sudden terror in verse 25, nor of the trouble when the wicked from which it comes. So then he's promising you you're going to be safe. He's going to give you a safe walkway. Look at what he says in verse 24. When you lie down at night, so you're not going to be afraid that somebody's going to break in your house or someone's going to hurt you, destroy you. And then he further says, when you lie down, you'll sleep. You'll have a sweet sleep. You'll sleep like a baby if you've got the wisdom that God wants you to have. And you might say, well, I don't feel safe at night and I'm not sleeping well. Well, you haven't got there yet. You need to keep on reading Proverbs. You need to keep on studying. Because He has made you a promise that you will attain that. So you want to do that. Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. And let's go to verse 5 through 9. He says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. She's going to protect you and help you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And the And in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her. She will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she's going to give you. Again, promises God said that you're going to have. You just get into Proverbs. I know you women have studied this, and you've got some things that you've studied and brought out in your class, and you want to add, and now's the time to do that. And if you've got any questions about these things, I'm not an expert on Proverbs by any means, and every time I pick it up, and I don't know how many times I've read Proverbs from over, and I don't want to give you a number. But every time I pick it up, I don't care if it's in the morning or this evening, and I turn to any page, there's something on that page that will benefit me and has been. I once heard a story about a fellow whose dad was the chairman of a large, humongous, probably the largest insurance company in the United States, which means he had a multi-million-dollar job. He said there wasn't a day that he didn't get up and see his dad reading Proverbs. And I truly believe that will give you wisdom in that area also, and wisdom how to prosper. If you do it in a godly way. If you do it in a godly way. Quite often, and I don't do it as much as I should, but quite often if I get up in the morning and I'll turn just anywhere in Proverbs, I'll read maybe that chapter, and I promise you sometime during the day that will benefit me. Something in there will come to my mind that, hey, I just read that. This is what I should say. This is what I shouldn't say. Proverbs, we're going to skip over to 12. Proverbs 12, 1. If you love instruction, what are we talking about when he says if you love instruction? What's he talking about if you love instruction? More. Good advice. If you love good advice, if you love to listen, and you're willing to learn after you listen from it. If you love instruction, then you're going to love knowledge. Because knowledge is going to be an accumulation of all these facts that we have in this life, the truisms that God wants you to learn. He says, but if you hate correction, if you hate someone to discipline you, if you hate the one to say, wait a minute, that's wrong, this is right. He says, the King James Version says, you're stupid. I think better in today's vernacular would be that you're unwise and that you're a fool. I think the words over the years, when we refer someone to stupid today, we say it in a very inflammatory way. But I don't think God meant it that way. He meant that you're unwise. You're being foolish. No question about it. You're being foolish if you won't accept the instructions and correction. Too often, we go through life and we're hunky-dory as long as everybody agrees with us. You know, shaking the head around. Everyone says, wait a minute. No, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. It should be this way. Then we become offended at it. We don't learn anything from it. And then that way we're becoming very foolish. And in this case, it says you're very stupid. Proverbs 15, 1 and 2. Turn over to 15, 1 and 2. This is something that I don't care where you are in the book of Proverbs or where you are in your journey of knowledge and wisdom. This is something that you can practice every day. Because every day you're going to be faced, as long as you open your mouth and you're speaking to someone or having conversations. This is something that more now, if not on a daily basis, maybe on a weekly basis, is going to come up in your life. Where there's anger in whoever you're talking to, or there's anger in your voice or anger on your heart, and out comes these words out of your mouth that you never intended for them to come out. It says, but the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of a fool pours out foolishness. So when you get into this kind of conversations, you know where you stand in your journey of wisdom. You're foolish. So avoid those. You can go back to the soft answers. Be gentle in your speech. Think about what you're going to say. Think about how the other person is going to be affected by it. Even if they want to start an argument, you give them a soft answer and avoid having harsh words stir up in your heart. There's several more verses, Proverbs, we're going to get to, but we're going to touch basically on this again. First of all, you want to avoid people like that. But that'll come up later. Okay, Proverbs 1 and 2. Go down to 22. Here's something that you can do. If you haven't been practicing this in your life, I'm going to encourage you to do it. This works. Without counsel. What is he talking about without counsel? Without talking to people, right, about it, before you jump in there. Without counsel, without considering others, without considering your wife when you make a decision, without considering your family when you're making a bigger decision, without considering your banker if you're going to make a big financial decision. Without counsel, plans go awry. He says, but in the multitude of counsels, they are established. Go to as many people as you possibly can that may have experienced what you are considering and get their advice. That's where the sounding board effect helps you. Too often, we just include our one or two friends. You know, we're going to say, what do you think? And they're most always going to agree with you. You know, that's why you like them as your friend. Go outside that atmosphere. Go outside that zone of influence and ask other people. But particularly if you're making a financial decision. I don't know of any financial decisions that have been made that someone hasn't made that before you, and can give you some good advice to do it or not to do it, or the pitfalls if you did do it. Always consider that. That's why they have financial consultants nowadays. That's why they have bankers. That's why they have stockbrokers, people that can talk to you about money and how best to use your money, when not to use it, when to use it, the best time to use it, which is very important. Proverbs 16. Let's go to Proverbs 16. Verse 24. Again, getting back to that tongue that we have in our mouth. Pleasant words. Always. This is not just sometimes. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb. The sweetness to the soul and the health to the bones. No one wants to hear antagonizing or hatred or violent or vulgar words. Pleasant words, like honey, honeycomb, the sweetness to the soul. That's something you can practice every day. Practice every day. Make sure what comes out of your mouth benefits somebody, not tear somebody down. Because if you don't, go down to verse 28, you'll become a perverse man that sows strife. And a whisper that separates the best of friends. So he's giving you, God is giving you two examples. One that he wants you to use, and if you don't use it, then you'll become if your best man is right, then you'll whisper, you'll lose your friends. Either or. Proverbs 17. My favorite one. My favorite. It says, even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. In other words, he doesn't open his mouth. When he shuts his lip, he's considered very perceptive. How many times do we want to jump in on a discussion, an argument, or a story, or anything that we know very little about? And then up jumps our ignorance. I mean, it becomes apparent to everybody. But I found out, and I've said in many a meeting in my life, particularly in the business world, if you just sit there and listen, and just let everybody else talk. And after they've all given the facts they had out there, if you have the wisdom to put them together, those facts, and then open your mouth, you'll seem like a wise man to them. And if you can't do that, then just keep your mouth shut. And you'll still think, they still think you might be wise, but you haven't made a fool out of yourself. You haven't made a fool out of yourself. Always listen. In any environment that I'm in, because I talk so much when I'm around you guys, y'all don't believe it. I try to keep my mouth shut if there's a discussion going on until I have the facts. But I certainly don't want to look like a fool. I certainly don't want to look like a fool. Sometimes I do, but I certainly don't want to look like that. But studying Proverbs and the wisdom that God gives you in that, to be able to, for you to take this fact this guy said over here, maybe this baloney this guy said over here, and you'd be able to start discerning that and putting it together. And then you speak. And then when you speak, you'll have something wise to say. But if you don't discern that, if you don't have the wisdom to do that, then it's best to keep your mouth shut.
That's why God gave us two eyes to live and one.
That's why he keeps warning us that mouth is that tongue is a terrible, terrible thing. It can get you in a lot of trouble. Tongue gets you in a lot of trouble. Okay, Proverbs 18:13. Let's go over there. I'm going to tell you, if you're guilty of this, or people who are guilty of this, maybe I should put it that way, I can't think of any more way to show your arrogance, or to show my arrogance, than to jump in on a matter and start talking about it, not knowing anything about it. How presumptuous of me to think that I know more than what this guy's trying to say when I don't know more than what he's trying to say. And of course, God tells you here it's a folly to do that. It's a folly and a shame for you to do something like that. But I've known people who interrupt conversations before the first of them is finished what he's going to try to say and then adds on to it. Well, how can he be so presumptuous to know what this guy's going to end up saying? To me, that's complete arrogance, and God really looks down on that. That's one you want to embed within your memory bank right there. That's a good one. And then going on down to verse 17. Here's one we're all guilty of, by the way. If I'm going to bring an argument to you against my brother, you better believe I'm going to embellish my argument. I'm going to make it seem like I'm much in a better position than he is. I've got a much better argument than he does. I'm more right than he is. We have a tendency to do that. God knows we have a tendency to do that. So that's why he put these scriptures in here. He said, my argument might be very good until he speaks. Then he tells me all his points that I neglected to say, his good points that I neglected. But surely we don't get in there and tell everybody else's good points. We tell our good points. And we won't speak a thing about his good points. So when someone comes to you with a tale on a friend, please listen to what he has to say. But don't take any position until you hear the other side of the story. Because it's always two sides of the story. An old saying is, his side, her side, the truth is somewhere in the middle. The truth is somewhere in the middle. So be careful that you hear both sides before you get into an argument. That's another one of those that I think we can... I've got my memory bank. I try hard not to forget. That's particularly true if they come to you with an argument and they want you to agree with them because they wouldn't come to you if they didn't want you to agree with them. So, well, let's go talk. And I guarantee you, most times they'll back up. Let's just go talk. And well, in some cases, they might say, well, I have, and this is why I feel it. So, well, let's you and I go talk. And then they generally stop it. They don't want that brother to tell you his side of the story. Let's see what we got here. 18:24. All right, here you guys. This is something you have to ask your own self in your heart. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. If you claim and complain that you don't have friends, you need to examine yourself. You must be friendly to yourself. Because I don't know of someone who really wants to be a friend if there's not somebody out there who really wants a friend. Somebody out there who really wants a friend. And in general cases, this might be true all the time, a good, true friend, a godly friend, will stick with you sometimes when your own kinfolk is. And the older we get, you know, the more that happens. Our brothers, our sisters, when they all get up in age, you just don't see them. But a true friend will be there at the bedside when you pass out of this life. But if you want friends, you must be friendly yourself. Okay, let's go over to chapter 19. I want to read verse 17. I want you to notice the direct connection that God makes between himself and the poor. He who has pity on the poor lends to God. So you're giving to the poor. God is accepting that as a loan to him. He's going to repay you. He's going to repay you many fold in what you give. He who has pity, when I say pity on the poor, it's honest concern about all the problems that they have, to the point that you're willing to give up something. When you do that, then you've lent to the Lord. He makes a promise to you. He says, he's going to pay it back. You're going to get it back. All that you've been given. Number 18. For those of you, I don't think, well, not many of us. Any of us that has parents, in, but some in here. It says chasten. King James says chasten your son, which is the same thing as discipline your son while there is hope. And do not set your heart on his destructions. We're talking about godly discipline here now. We know there's been a lot of abuse, child abuse in the world, and Satan has made sure that everybody hears about that and knows about that. And in some cases, there have been people who've godly disciplined their child who've been brought before the court because someone else thought it was abuse. But then we've got to discern within ourselves what is godly discipline. And if we are confident that we're using godly discipline, then the Lord wants you to use that godly wisdom. I wrote the I was one of those kids, by the way, that was disciplined. I want you to know that. I mean, I got my whooping. I got my tail whooping. I rewrote this proverb here, and I'm not saying it's a proverb now, but I said it is better to see tears in your child's eyes after godly correction than to see tears in your eyes when he's corrected as an adult. I mean, parents have cried. See their children go off to jail or commit such crimes and hurts the whole reputation of the family forever. So don't be afraid to give godly discipline to your child when it's necessary. Proverbs 23, it's honorable for a man to stop. This again goes back to your conversation. It is honorable for a man to stop striving since any fool can start an argument. Any fool can go out there and get in an argument and cause fuss and turmoil and strife and hard feelings. It says, but it's honorable for a man to stop it. Put a stop to it right there. Right when you has involved you or you're there, put a stop to it right there. It doesn't mean you go to him on the street to stop people from fighting. But where you're concerned, someone wants to argue with you or wants to fight with you, you put a stop to it right there.
Which one is that, Jude?
Huh?
Which one is that?
It's Proverbs 20, verse 3.
20.
Then go over to Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, or the do not in Proverbs, I will recompense evil for evil. Wait for the Lord, for he will save you. Do not try to do God's work. He will take care of someone who's done evil to you. It's not your position in life to work in and try to do evil back to him. That again is presumptuous to say I'm going to get even. And that's either you or my pay scale. That's God's pay scale. He's the one that will call for judgment. He'll be the one that takes care of that. Wise men do not try to get even. That's God's right, and he doesn't want you to try to take that away from him. That's what he's here for. Proverbs 21:13. Again, going back to the poor, whoever shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be heard. We live in a hardened world today because there's so many people out there, there's shysters out there and non-Christian people who try to take advantage of anybody in any way they can. And it's God calls on us to get godly wisdom to try to discern what we do, what we support, and what we don't support. Too many of us have taken that to say, I have nothing to do with them. I heard about them. Someone told me about them without finding out for themselves. God will guide you in your decisions if you get his wisdom. He said he made you a promise on that. If we err, we make a mistake, we need to err on God's side. Not because someone told us this, we think this, or they look like this. I don't do this because I do this. If we're going to err, make sure we err on God's side. And then in verse 17 of the same chapter, he says, he who loves pleasure will be a poor man. A truism. We weren't put on here on this earth to pleasure our own selves. We're put on this earth to pleasure God, to please God. If you do that, then you'll be a poor man. You will spend all your wealth. Proverbs 22:9. I can't do it. You are the 22:9. I want to read real quick. 22:9. Who has a generous eye will be blessed, for he gives his bread to the poor. Again, be generous with what you have and what you can share to the poor, because remember, God has a relationship with the poor. If you give to him, to the poor, it's like lending to God, and he's going to give it back. This passage, we'll get back to Proverbs one day, but I'm glad you women are studying that in your lesson, and I would encourage everybody to get in Proverbs and get with it. Thank you, guys.
Amen.